الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فهذا هو الدرس الأول في مدارستنا لكتاب التوحيد لشيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب التميمي رحمه الله تعالى. This is our first class and our studies together in the book of At-Tawheed by the great scholar, Shaykh al-Islam, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab al-Tamimi, rahimahullah ta'ala. This book, my noble brothers, is an amazing book. First of all, the title of the book, Kitabu al-Tawheed, الذي هو حق الله على العبيد. The book of التوحيد, sincere and pure monotheism, which is the right of Allah upon the servants. الذي هو حق الله على العبيد. That it is the right. This is a book that is dedicated to clarifying the right, the sincere and pure right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is to be worshipped alone with no partners. Which is to be worshipped alone with no partners. Before we begin reading from the actual text, I would like to present a brief muqaddima, introduction. In this muqaddima, we will discuss some important terminology, ta'rifat wa mustalahat, التي تتعلق بي العقيدة والتوحيد. We will discuss inshaAllah some important definitions and terminologies with regards to العقيدة, because this here we're studying a book of عقيدة, the science of عقيدة and the creed and the belief of a Muslim. So in order for all of us to be on the same page, inshaAllah we will discuss. And for some it will be a review, and for others maybe there will be some new information. But at least we will discuss some fundamental principles with regards to the creed and some terminologies and definitions that will be with us. And they will be considered as foundations and fundamentals that after that a person will have them to stand upon and understand the rest of the classes. And learning in this manner is very important, and this is the way that the ulama, they teach, and the upright scholars and the upright students, and they learn in this manner. وَلَكِنْ كُنُوا رَبَّنِيِّينَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تُعَلِّمُونَ الْكِتَابِ وَبِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَدْرُسُونَ. But rather you must be رَبَّنِيِّينَ. رَبَّنِيِّينَ, the ulama, they mention الرباني, العالم الرباني الذي يعلم الناس صغار العلم قبل كباره. Al-Rabbani, a scholar that is considered Rabbani, upright and firmly grounded, is the scholar that he raises and nourishes the people with the small knowledge before the big knowledge. So this is the manner that a student will learn, and this is the manner that a Muslim should learn his religion, step by step, in every class, and every lesson will be like a brick in the foundation of his education and learning. As for the one he tries to skip and go to the level that he's not at first, then this one he will not benefit the benefit that is required. So to seek knowledge and to learn properly, one has to be patient and take the proper channels and the proper avenues, and that is to go slowly and learn the foundations and the fundamentals, and then build on top of that and build on top of that, and then after some time you will find that he has gathered and acquired a great amount of knowledge, and is beneficial to him because he's standing on a foundation and his knowledge is based upon a foundation. As for the one who skips the stages and skips the steps, then maybe his knowledge may appear on the outward to be a lot or to be good, But those gaps in his education are going to affect him in the future. Whenever the fitin come, or the shahawat and the shubuhat, maybe he will be affected because he has gaps. Just like a wall, if the wall has bricks that are weak, then if the wind becomes strong enough, it may fall over. Or if the rain comes, it may fall over and hurt somebody. Like this, similarly, the education of a Muslim, we have to learn foundations after foundation. That's why we see that the ulama, they mentioned the three principles. You learn these first. The four principles, we learn these first. The six principles, we learn these first. Kitab al-Tawheed, we learn this first. This is the most important. A Muslim, he will learn that which is most important, and then after that, what is most important. It's called a tadarruj. A tadarruju fi talib al-ilm. This is very, very important. This is very, very important. And whenever the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu to Yemen, he mentioned to him this. He mentioned whenever he told him, he said, إِنَّكَ لَتَاتِي قَوْمًا مِنْ أَهْلِ كِتَابٍ. You verily, you are coming to a group of people who are from the people of the book. فَلْيَكُنْ أَوَّلَ مَا تَدْعُهُمْ إِلَيْهِ And يُوَحِدُ اللَّهِ Then let the first thing that you call them to single out Allah alone in worship. In one narration, ibadatullah. In one narration, shahadatu an la ilaha illallah. It's all the same meaning. Let the first thing that you call them to, the shahada, to the worship of Allah, to the testification that there's nothing worthy of worship except Allah. Let the first thing, فَإِنْهُمْ أَطَاعُوكَ لِذَٰلِكَ فَأَعْلِمْهُمْ If they obey you in that, then inform them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made salat obligatory upon them. And if they obey you in that, then inform them that Allah has made a zakat obligatory upon them. So from this narration, the ulama, they mentioned that this is the methodology in learning and this is the methodology in teaching. From the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-aham fal-aham. That which is most important and then that which is most important. Likewise, from this understanding, the ulama, they have mentioned this author, he has another work. It's called Kashf al-Shubuhat. Kashf al-Shubuhat, revealing the doubts. The ulama, they mentioned that it's not advised at all for a student to study this book until he first studies Kitab al-Tawheed. So you wouldn't want to make the mistake and delve into the Shubuhat before you first become solid and grounded in the aspects of Tawheed and that which is related to it. So this is the manner that a person, he will learn in this way, step by step, little by little. So the point in mentioning this, my noble brothers, is that we don't get into a hurry. The ulama of the Salaf, they used to say, مَنْ رَامَ الْعِلْمَ جُمْلَةً ذَهَبَ عَنْهُ جُمْلَةً Whoever tries to get knowledge all at once, it'll leave him all at once. Whoever tries to get knowledge all at once, it'll leave him all at once. For example, somebody maybe who is busy memorizing texts, memorizing the Quran or memorizing the Hadith, sometimes maybe if he's very energetic and one day he might memorize one page, two pages. But if he's not careful, he will see that this page, these two pages will leave him so fast. But as on the other hand, if you were to memorize half a page or a quarter of a page every day, that this amount here that he can review and continue with, it will stick and will stay with him. But maybe one day he memorized two, three whole pages, but the next day it's gone. Because the brain can only contain and keep any strong so much. So that means that we have to learn. We learn in accordance to our ability. Some who can learn, if it's in his capacity to memorize two pages a day, that's good for him. Alhamdulillah. But some others, if he could only memorize one line a day, alhamdulillah, that he memorizes one line. In any case, we learn little by little, step by step. And the one who is sincere, then Allah Azza wa Jalla, he will put barakah in that knowledge. And he will look back. Maybe a student will study a month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, and maybe he doesn't feel like he has gained a lot of knowledge. And then all of a sudden, an issue will come up. Something will happen at the house, or the wife, or the sister, or the brother will ask a question. Oh, yeah. Sheikh so-and-so said this, I heard it in the class. Oh yeah, no, this is not permissible. The ulama, they said this, I heard it in the class. And then a person realized, alhamdulillah, I actually have benefited. I have some knowledge with me, alhamdulillah. So in this manner, a student and a Muslim will study and learn little by little, step by step, until he reaches from the small knowledge to the big knowledge. So we begin with some definitions. تعريفات مهمة في عقيدة أهل السنة والجماعة. العقيدة, ما معنى العقيدة؟ What's the meaning of العقيدة? This is a book of عقيدة. We're studying عقيدة here in English. Creed. نعم. Or belief. Creed is probably the best translation, which is belief. إيمان. Where is عقيدة? And in a believer, where would he find the aqidah?
In his heart.
In the heart. In the heart. The aqidah is in the heart. The word aqidah, it comes from the word al-aqid. Al-aqid. Al-aqid is a contract, or a covenant, or a bond. Aqidah. من عقد يعقد. يعقد عقدا. عقدا. Al-aqd is a contract or a bond. This is the original meaning of the word aqidah. The aqidah is this word is derived from this word. So we see the relationship between al-aqidah wal aqd, and that the aqidah or the creed of a believer and the creed of a Muslim, this is an aqd. Baynahu wa bayna Rabbi. This is a contract and a bond in the heart of a believer, between himself and between his Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-aqd, also from the same word, al-uqda. And from the meaning of aqd, ashud, wal-ihkam, wa-rabd. And to shud shay'in, wa-tarbituhu, wa-tuhakim, wa-rabtahu, yani qad aqadahu. Yani he would tighten something, he'll make it tight and tie it down, this is also called al-aqd. That's why, like a contract is a bond, it's binding between those who have signed and agreed. So this issue has been tied down, fastened down, and has been set. So this is the same understanding here from the word aqidah. It's a bond that is strongly formed and it is firm in the heart of a believer. The scholars of hadith, they mention from this, يعني سميت عقدة الحبل عقدة. Because of this, because it's tied down, a knot. When you have a knot of a rope, you take it, you take the knot, the rope, and you tie it tight. This is called uqda. And the plural is uqad. Who knows a verse with this word in it? Surah Al-Falaq. Naam. Al-uqad. Jamu uqda. Uqad, knots. So uqad, it means a knot. This is all from the same root of the word of al-aqidah. So then the aqidah is a bond, and it's a contract, and it's a covenant between the servant, between the abd, and between his Lord. It's a belief and a promise. The aqidah, from the word aqidah, the plural, jamul aqidah, aqaid. Aqaid. Beliefs or creeds. والعقائد كثيرة ومختلفة جدا. The creeds are many. There are many creeds. There are many creeds, many different beliefs. نعم. But there's only one that is correct. There is only one that is correct. It is the creed that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upon and his companions. This is the correct creed. نعم. This is the correct creed and the correct aqidah. This is the correct belief. مَكَنَ عَلَيْهِ الْيَوْمُ وَأَصْحَابِي. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned about the safe sect, the one that is not in the fire, because of their belief and their action and their creed, and because of their conduct and their worship and their manners. مَكَنَ عَلَيْهِ الْيَوْمُ أَنَا. مَكَنَ أَنَا عَلَيْهِ الْيَوْمُ وَأَصْحَابِي. وَكَمَا قَالَ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That which I am upon today and my companions. This is the correct creed. It is known as aqidatu ahli sunnati wal jama'ah, the creed of the people of the sunnah and the congregation. Al-aqidah is a science. We study and we learn it. It's a type of knowledge. علم العقيدة. We study and we learn in the science of العقيدة ما يتعلق بالإيمان بالله عز وجل وملائكته وكتبه ورسوله واليوم الآخر والقدر وما يتفرع عن هذه الأصول وما يتفرع عن هذه الأصول. We study in the science of creed, in the science of aqidah, that which is related to al-iman, belief in Allah Azza wa Jal. والإيمان بالله عز وجل أصل الأصول. This is the fundamental. This is the fundamental of the foundations. So this is the foundation of the fundamentals. This is the most important issue, and all the other affairs of belief return back to this issue. This is the first and most important thing that must be clarified clearly in the heart of a believer, and the rest of his belief is founded and based upon this. Al-Iman billah. Then after that, al-Iman, in, to have Iman in his angels and in his books and his messengers and the last day. And to have correct Iman in the decree and that which is related to these principles and these fundamentals. So al-Iman billah, this is what this book is related to, the right of Allah Azza wa Jal. But we see that al-Iman billah, this is the asl in all of the other usul of Iman. They're returning back, and they're based upon this asl. And this is clarified, and we can see in the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal this reality that al-Iman billah aslul usul. And all of the other usul al-Iman, they return back to this asl, indicating the importance of having a correct understanding and belief in Allah Azza wa Jal first. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions, كُلٌّ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ. دهاء الضمير الهاء يعود على ها اسم الجلال على الله ملائكته. كُلٌّ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ first, this the foundation. وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُولِهِ لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِنْ رُسُولِهِ. Now, so here the damir in all of these, the pronoun is referring back. So this is the foundation, and everything else goes back and refers back to this foundation. This is the first. All of them believe in Allah and His angels and His books and His messengers. You understand the proof here. The ulama, they mentioned that this is the foundation of the foundations. Believe in Allah, because all of the other foundations, they refer back to Allah. They refer back to the belief in Allah. كُلٌ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُولِهِ. In this manner. So this is the first foundation. For example, if an individual, he had a correct belief in the angels, and he had a correct belief in the books, and he had a correct belief according to the belief of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, a correct belief in the rest of the usul, but he had some khalal or deficiency with regards to his understanding and the belief in Allah, then this would necessitate a deficiency in the rest. This is the foundation. For example, we have a foundation, we're building a home, but that foundation is a little bit weak. Then the doors are nice, and the walls are nice, and the roof is very nice, but the foundation is not very nice. And maybe it looks good from the outside, but after some time, whenever the weather gets hot, and then it gets cold, and then the snow becomes heavy, and then the ice, and then the wind, that foundation, those beautiful doors, they might fall over because the foundation is not strong. So it's very, very important for a believer to have this foundation in his heart strong. Allah Azza wa Jal, He has made an example of this foundation as the example of the tree. ضرب الله مثلا كلمة طيبة. Allah has struck an example of a good word. أي لا إله إلا الله. This is the creed. This is the aqidah. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. This is the creed. This is the aqidah. There's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. This is the aqidah. This is the creed. This is aqidah. The meaning of this statement, or the bond, the contract that one has with this statement, this kalima, tayyiba, I bear witness that I will not worship anyone except for you, O Allah. That's what it means. This is the bond. I bear witness that I will not worship anyone except you, O Allah. There's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. This is a confession. that I will not worship anyone except for you. Not with my money, not with my heart, not with my hands and not with my eyes, not with my feet, not with my ears. I will not worship anyone except for you, O Allah. Muhammadur Rasulullah, and I will not worship you, O Allah, except in the manner showed to us by our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. هذا العقد بين العبد وبين ربه. كلمة طيبة كشجرة طيبة أصلها ثابت. A good word like a good tree, its foundation is firm. يعني its trunk is deeply rooted and it has roots. The roots are deep in the ground. فرعها في السماء. And its branches are up in the air. تؤتي أكلها كل حين بإذن ربها. Giving its fruit at all times by the permission of its Lord. This is the example of the good of the firm aqidah and the firm creed of La ilaha illallah in the heart of a believer. If it's firm like this, then it will bring fruits at all times by the permission of Allah. Good deeds, good actions, good speech, good statements. Like this at all times, good manners, good conduct, sincere acts of worship, salat that is correct, all of this will come from this good statement that is in the heart, that is firm, that is solid. When the shubha had come, it won't be affected. Whenever the doubts and the desires come, it won't be affected. Whenever the temptations come, this statement is firm in the heart. It will prevent that person, that believer, from falling into these desires and to falling into these whims by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the contrary, if, for example, this is where there's many great trees we see here in Georgia that have this example. There, you can tell their roots are deep and they're high and they're standing firm. There are other trees that are not so, their roots are not so deep and they're not so firm. And maybe they look nice and maybe they produce fruits that are good. But then whenever the storm comes, you find it the next day laying on its side. It couldn't bear the burden. It couldn't bear the storm. Similarly, the statement and the creed and the aqidah of a believer, if it is not firm, it will not be able to bear the storm. The storms of life. In life, there's a lot of trials and there's tests and there's calamities, and a believer will be tested with good and a believer will be tested with hardship and difficulty. A believer may be tested with wealth. Another believer may be tested with poverty. One believer may be tested with both in his life. How do we endure these tests? With the correct creed and the correct belief and the correct understanding of our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the names of this particular knowledge that we are studying, the knowledge of aqidah, we have, it's called ilm al-aqidah. Likewise, it's known as ilm al-tawheed. Sometimes the word aqidah and tawheed is used to mean one thing. Yani, we're studying aqidah. Or we can say right now we're studying a book of tawheed or a book of aqidah, because the aqidah of a Muslim is al-tawheed. The aqidah of a Muslim is al-tawheed. Also, this is al-iman. And likewise, there's another term, ilm usul al-deen. Ilm usul al-deen. This is the knowledge of the fundamentals of the deen, the foundations of the religion. Likewise, there's another term that the ulama, they use whenever they discuss the issues of creed and aqidah, the issues of tawheed, and it is as-sunnah. But whenever the ulama are discussing the issues of at-tawheed and they mention sunnah, as-sunnah here, they're not talking about al-ahkam al-fiqhiyyah. They're not talking about al-ahkam al-fiqhiyyah. Like, for example, Al-Imam Ahmad, he has a book, Usul As-Sunnah. Usul As-Sunnah, the foundations of the Sunnah. This is not a book that will find that you eat with your right hand and that you sleep on your right side and that you raise your hands when you make takbir. We're finding from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to do this. And from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to say Bismillah before you eat. All of this, now, this is from the Sunnah. But what is the intent by usul al-sunnah here? هنا usul al-din, usul al-diyana, usul al-tawheed, usul al-aqida. The word, the ulama, they use this word as sunnah to refer to the creed and to refer to the belief. Al-Imam Ahmad, he died in the year 241. So this was from the way they understood because of the importance and the importance of these issues of creed, they named it this as sunnah. This is the sunnah. This is the deen. This is the deen. This is as sunnah. This is what the Prophet ﷺ was upon. Because if it's dangerous for those who oppose it and the likes like this, and it's important for a believer to know, the ulama, they mentioned that these issues, they call usul as-sunnah, the foundations of the sunnah. The foundations of the sunnah. Likewise, there's another book, as-sunnah, it's called as-sunnah, by Ibn Abi Asim, rahimahullah ta'ala. He died in 287. He called his book as-sunnah. This book is all about creed. This book is all about belief. Likewise, the son of Al-Imam Ahmad, Abdullah ibn Al-Imam Ahmad, rahimahumullah ta'ala, he died in the year 290. He has a book likewise, As-Sunnah. It's all about creed. It's all about creed. After him, there was a great scholar, Ibn Al-Khallan. He died in 311. He had a book called As-Sunnah. But it's not talking about the sunnah, the daily actions and the manners and the conducts of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's talking about the creed. It's talking about the belief. Likewise, there's another book, very famous, Sharh As-Sunnah, by Al-Barahari, rahimahullah ta'ala. A great book. He died in the year 329. He mentioned in the very beginning, Al-Islam huwa sunnah, wa sunnah hiya al-Islam. And this Islam is the sunnah, and the sunnah, it is Islam. But the reality is Sharh As-Sunnah, the explanation of the Sunnah, explanation of the proper and correct belief and creed. These are books of creed and belief. So we see that this knowledge, the knowledge of Aqidah, this is the foundation and the fundamental, and this is the most important knowledge before the other knowledge. And this is the knowledge that we would is most rightful to understand from the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam whenever he has mentioned in the hadith of Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu, is muttafaqun alayhi, man yuridillahu bihi khayran yufaqihu fi ddeen, whoever Allah wants good for, he give him understanding in the religion. This is the first and most important understanding. This is the first and most important understanding. Some of the ulama, they mentioned that the science of tawheed, or the knowledge of creed and belief, aqidah, this is called al-fiqh al-akbar, the major fiqh. Al-fiqh al-akbar. For example, if somebody knows how to pray properly and gives zakat properly, he knows all about laws of inheritance and all these great details and the manners to worship and all these great details with transactions, but he prays or supplicates to a grave. Na'udhu billah. Will this benefit him? That's why there's a statement from this imam here, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, he would mention, and he was speaking to the fuqaha, because of his time, and speaking about those before him. If they had showed that as much concern for aqidah as they had done for the different opinions in fiqh, they would have been successful. You find that some of the scholars previously, they gave great concern to different issues with regards to fiqh. But then some of them, unfortunately, they went astray with regards to creed. So then, naam, it's very important. We wouldn't want to misunderstand learning fiqh. Fiqh ibadat and fiqh mu'amalat. This is very, very important. But more important than that, al-aqidah. More important than that, al-tawheed. More important than that, ilm usul al-deen. This is the first and most important thing. And this is something that a believer, he will study his entire life. A believer, he will study aqidah his entire life. It's mentioned some of the ulama, they'll continue to study the book of Tawheed over and over and over and over, or to teach it, excuse me. To teach it over and over and over and over and over. He'll start from the beginning and go to the end, and start from the beginning and go to the end, and start from the beginning and go to the end. And continue like this because of the great benefits of this particular book. Likewise, we have some other terminology or another mustalah. Mustalah, we have Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Where did this term come from? Ahlu Sunnati wal Jama'ah. The people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah. Why are they called Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah? And who are Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah? The people who follow the Sunnah and they are gathered upon that. Allahumma barik naam. And the origin of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they are, as Imam al-Barbahari, he mentioned in his book likewise, that Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah hum as-sahaba. They're the companions. This is the origin. The Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, this is the companions. They're the ones that were united and gathered upon the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They're the ones who were united and gathered on the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after them, anyone is on their way. The people who are truly on their way, not just by lip service. Those who are on their way with regards to their creed and with regards to their belief, first and foremost, and their acts of worship and their conduct and their manners. And the lights like this, and in the understanding of the transactions, these are the people that are from Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah. Hum Ahlul Haqq. هم الذين تمسكوا بما جاء به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من كتاب الله سبحانه وتعالى وسنته صلى الله عليه وسلم. طيب, why are they called أهل السنة والجماعة, the people who followed the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم and the Book of Allah عز وجل? They have their understanding from the Book of Allah عز وجل and the Sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Why are they called أهل السنة والجماعة؟ أهل السنة. First, they're described. This is a description, a laqab, that they're described with. Wasfun lahum. Hum ahlu as-sunnah. The people of the sunnah. Because? They're described like this because of their steadfastness and their dependence and reliance upon the sunnah. لِاعْتِمَادِهِمْ عَلَى السُنَّةِ فِي فَهْمِ الدِّينِ. Because they're holding fast and their reliance upon the sunnah, and leaving off the desires, and leaving off the opinions, and leaving off what people find to be good, and the likes like this, and holding on to the sunnah. So they're described as ahl as-sunnah. Now, okay, what are they described? What is the benefit from the description wal al-jama'ah and the congregation? What is the al-jama'ah? Any al-ijtima'ah? Because the sunnah, it gathers. The sunnah gathers them. So whenever they all agreed, alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah, to hold fast to the sunnah and to leave off everything that is contrary to the sunnah, to leave off the desires and leave off the opinions and to hold fast to the sunnah, this right here has gathered them. And now they're gathered upon this way. So they are Ahlu Sunnah, they are the people of the sunnah, and they are the Jama'ah. They are the congregation who are united. So the sunnah, what does it do truly? The one who really follows the sunnah, it unites him with the people of the sunnah. And the people of the sunnah are always united in every time and in every place. And this is something that shaitan really wants to corrupt, to divide the people of the sunnah. And this is a calamity for the people of the sunnah to be divided. And to be, and this weakens the people of the sunnah, and this weakens the da'wah of the sunnah, and this weakens the effort of the people of the sunnah, and they become weak, and then in turn their deen in the society becomes weak. This is often the plots of shaitan. The people of the sunnah, they must be united, because the sunnah, it unites. So they gather upon the sunnah. And they're united upon the sunnah. So they are Ahlu As-Sunnah wal Jama'ah. طيب, is this a new terminology? مصطلح أهل السنة والجماعة. Is this something new? Maybe first one to use it, Shaykh Al-Albani, مثلا, رحمه الله. Or the first one, maybe we'll go back, maybe Shaykh Al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, the first one, رحمه الله. No. You sure? Alhamdulillah. Nah, he's not the first one. Rather, if we were to look into the books of our Salaf, and we were looking to the heritage of Islam in the books that we have, we'll find one of the greatest books of tafsir and the clarification of the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, At-Tabari. And then likewise, before him, or in his same era actually, there was a man, his name is Ibn Abi Hatim, Abdurrahman Ibn Abi Hatim. He died in the year 327. Abdurrahman Ibn Abi Hatim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he is a great scholar of hadith. And his father was a great scholar of hadith. His father is Abu Hatim al-Razi, rahimahullah ta'ala. His son, Abdurrahman Ibn Abi Hatim, rahimahullah ta'ala, likewise, he's the author of Al-Jahw al-Ta'dil, famous book with regards to narrators and the clarification of the issues in science of Al-Jahw al-Ta'dil. He has also a book called Al-Tafsir. One of the specific qualities of this book of At-Tafsir by Ibn Abi Hatim is a book, yani Tafsir al-Musnad. So he narrates the understanding of each verse with a chain from him to a companion, or from him to a tabi'i, or from him to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, like this. So in this particular work, Ibn Abi Hatim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in the year 327. With regards to the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, يَوْمَ تَبْيَضُّ وُجُوهٌ وَتَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهٌ, speaking about the day of judgment, يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ, يَوْمْ تَبْيَضُّ وُجُوهٌ وَتَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهٌ, on the day that faces will become, some faces become white, bright, enlightened, and other faces will become black and gloomy, dark. He mentioned with his chain to a great tabi, Sa'id ibn Jubayr. Sa'id ibn Jubayr, he died in 95 after the hijrah of the Prophet. He is narrating on Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. He said, يوم تبيض وجوه أهل السنة والجماعة. Who said that? Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. Turjuman al-Quran. He's from the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet made dua for him, and he has been known to be the most, he has the most knowledge with regard to the tafsir of the Quran. One of the most knowledgeable of the Sahaba with regards to the tafsir of the Quran, mentioned that he recited the Quran to the Prophet and stopped him at every sallallahu alaihi wasallam ayat, asking him the meanings. He said, يَوْمَ تَبْيَضُّ وُجُوهٌ, on the day that faces will become bright. He said, whose faces will become bright? تَبْيَضُّ وُجُوهُ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَعَةِ. This is the day that the faces of the people of the Sunnah wal Jama'ah will become bright. The point from this, my noble brothers, is to see that this terminology was understood even by the companions. This companion here is using this terminology. This is not new terminology. Some people, they try to put shubuhat into the creed, or try to corrupt the creed of the believers. Oh, this is new. Ahl al-Sunnah wa Jama'ah, Salafiyah, all these terms are new. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he made these up. This was not known before. Rather, if we look into the books of the Salaf, if we look into the books of Hadith and the books of Tafsir, we will find these terminology used even by the companions, such as in this narration. وَيَوْمَ تَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهُ, he said, تَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهُ أَهْلِ الْبِدَعِ وَالضَّلَالَةِ, and the faces, the day that the faces will become gloomy, the faces of the people of innovation and misguidance. Likewise, we see, if we continue, this is from a companion, so this is not new terminology. This is not a new understanding in the religion. Rather, this is the understanding of the religion. Likewise, there's a great scholar, his name is Muhammad ibn Sirin. He's from the students of Abi Hurairah and other than him, radiallahu anhu. From the great tabi'een, he died in the year 110. He mentioned in a famous narration, Al-Imam Muslim, he mentioned in his introduction, in his muqaddimah, this narration with this chain to Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahimahullah. He mentioned, he said, لَمْ يَكُنُوا يَسَّلُونَ عَنِ الْإِسْنَادِ. He said, the people before, meaning the companions, they didn't used to ask about the isnad. They didn't used to ask, where did you get that narration from? Where did you hear this tafsir of this verse from? Where did you get that understanding of the creed from? They didn't. لم يكونوا يسألون عن الإسناد. فلما وقعت الفتنة قالوا سموا لنا رجالكم. So whenever the fitna occurred, يعني the fitna الافتراق, and this is the time in the killing and whenever in the murder of Uthman رضي الله عنه, and in this time the ummah, the desires came. And the people of innovation came, and the splitting came. فَلَمَّا وَقَعَتِ الْفِتْنَةِ قَالُوا سَمُّوْنَا رِجَالَكُمْ. They said, tell us who you heard that from. Name for us your men. Meaning, mention to us the people that you took this narration from, that you took this understanding from. So in the time of the companions, they didn't used to do that. And then whenever this fitna came, this is what they started saying. But then he said after that, and this is the point here, Shah, he said, فَيُنْظَرُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ فَيُخَذُوا حَدِيثُهُمْ وَيُنْظَرُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ الْبِدْعِ فَلَا يُخَذُوا حَدِيثُهُمْ. So it will be looked to the people of the Sunnah, فَيُنْظَرُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ. This term right here is being used by this Imam, Muhammad ibn Sirin. He died in the year 110. After the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we will look to the people of the Sunnah and take their hadith. And we would look to the people of innovation and we would not take their hadith. The point is, this term is here used, understood by the companions and by the tabi'een, by the best generation, they understood this terminology. Ahlu sunnati wal jama'a. Ahlu as-sunnati wal jama'a. Likewise, we have another terminology, very important to understand, as-salaf, as-salih. Another term, mustalah, as-salaf, as-salih. What does this term mean? The righteous predecessors. As-salaf, alladhi taqaddama zamanan. As-salaf, the one that's called salaf in the language, the Arabic language, is the one who has preceded, the one who come before. من سلفك من آبائك وأجدادك. This one is called the salaf, the one who has preceded. من سبقك زمنا. من سبقك زمنا. The one who came before you. The one who came before you, this is called the salaf. So the understanding here is the predecessors, those who have preceded. But it's important to understand it's not just as-salaf. Sometimes we use that term, but just by itself. But the real understanding, as-salaf, as-salih. The righteous predecessors. The righteous predecessors. But what is intended by them is what has been mentioned in the narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's in Bukhari and Muslim. It's been narrated by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And likewise, it's been narrated by Imran ibn al-Husayn radiyallahu anhuma. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. The best of the people is my generation. My generation, the generation of the Prophet and his companions. Then those who follow, tabi'een. And then those who follow, atba' tabi'een. Like this. This is the known as al-qurun al-mufaddala. And they are as-salaf as-salih. And they are as-salaf as-salih. So whenever we say that we follow the methodology of the salaf, or the methodology of the salaf as-salih, or the creed, aqidat as-salafiyya, or al-manhaj as-salafi, it's referring back to them. It's referring back to their creed and their belief. What were they upon? What the Prophet ﷺ and his companions were upon, and what the tabi'un were upon, atba' tabi'in, what they were upon. These are our salaf as-salih. So then we understand, and they're actually also ahl sunnati wal jama'a. But as-salaf as-salih, mustalahun khas. Wa ahl sunnati wal jama'a, mustalahun aam. Understand that? That the salaf as-salih, this is specific to this generation. So we wouldn't say somebody after them, he's salaf. These are the salaf as-salih. And anybody who is on their way, they're following the methodology of the salaf as-salih. They'll be from Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah. They'll be from Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah. So we hope to be upon the methodology, upon the creed, upon the way of the salaf as-salih. Those who are upon that way, they are Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah. Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah, they have other names likewise. Ahlul Hadith. Ahlul Athar, Ashabul Hadith, Ashabul Athar, Salafiyun, These are all different terms for one meaning. These are all different terms for one meaning. أهل السنة والجماعة. نعم أهل السنة والجماعة. This is the case. But we want to be sure to understand that we have to make the taqeed as-salih. Because in these eras, even in this first generation, there were some shudud. There were some people, they are from the generation of the Salaf, but they're not salih. They were not salih. Beginning with Ma'bad al-Juhani. He died in the year 80. Deviated greatly. From the heads of deviation, likewise Al-Ja'd ibn Dirham. He died in the year 118. Likewise Al-Jahm ibn Safwan, the head of Jahmiyyah. Na'udhu Billah. 128, he died in the year 128. And he from the early generations. Likewise, Wasil ibn Atta, Rasul I'tizal, the leader, the head of the Mu'tazila, the one who came with the idea of the Mu'tazila. These are the people that came with the idea of Al-Qadariyya, Wal-Jabariyya, Wal-Jahmiyya, Wal-Khalq al-Qur'an, and the likes like this. The Qur'an was created. They came with these ideas that that Allah doesn't know what the servant will do until he does it. They came with these corrupt beliefs in Shubuhat, the likes of these people. Wasil ibn Atta, he died in the year 134. So they definitely lived in the time, in the early generations. But they are not from the Salaf al-Salih. They are not from the Salaf al-Salih. Naam, so it's very important to understand that with that regards. طيب إن شاء الله نكتفي بهذا. We'll suffice with that. Inshallah, next week we'll begin with the book. We'll begin reading from the book, inshallah, of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, Kitab al-Tawheed, الذي هو حق الله على العبيد. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.